chapter 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, we just thank you for the day that we have today. And we thank you, Lord, for the day that you're drawing near. Help us, Lord, to live right between this day and that day. Help us, Father, to live for you. Help us, Lord, to look into your word today, to learn from you. Help us, Father, to know what it means to hear your voice and understand how to be guided by you and convicted by you. Father, I ask your blessings on the children. But I want to start by reading John chapter 16, verse 7 through 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is cheap. Now, let me say this. Jesus is speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 9. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Let me just pause there for a second. And let me say that the ruler of this world is Satan. The ruler of this world is the condemnation that you hear in your ear and feel in your heart. The ruler of this world promotes greed. The ruler of this world is all about selfishness and self-centeredness. The ruler of this world is about tearing people down rather than building them up. Be careful what voices you listen to in your head. The devil has done his job for a long, long time, and he is very good at it. And he will lead you through the wrong garden, smelling the wrong flowers, and the whole time you will be thinking, this is great. I'm on my way to goodness. But the ruler of this world has an abyss in his future. Be careful to the voice that you listen to. This message is not about the ruler of this world, though. This message is about the ruler of the next world. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, let me just pause there. Just kind of another footnote in this message. Can't do too many footnotes or we'll run out of time. But verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Okay? Verse 14, the Helper will glorify me, that's Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So he's going to take what the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to take what's Jesus's and declare it to you. And then he said, and all that the Father has is mine. So what does the Father have? The Father has everything. And what did he do with it? He gave it to Jesus. And what does Jesus do with it? Everything. Gives it to the discretion of the Helper to give to us. So let me ask you a question. Just how rich are you? If you are a part owner in everything, we just can't complain about being broke, can we?
Best weekend deal.
It is the best weekend deal. I'm telling you, this is a white Sunday message. It's nothing to do with Black Friday here. This is all white. This is all Verse 7 begins, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." I have always found this passage quite interesting, the idea that it is to our advantage that Jesus left and was replaced by the Helper. Now, imagine Jesus, who was here, you know, a couple thousand years ago. Imagine if he were still alive today. We would be like, there's something special about that guy. But he probably wouldn't be someone that we know. He would be someone we hear about on television that lives in another part of the world. We would have to travel there to see him. So instead of Jesus staying here, he sent the Helper. And the Helper abides in our hearts. He lives with us. So you see, where Jesus limited himself to being restricted to a human body, meaning that he could only be in one place at one time, the Helper is able to be everywhere all the time. So the Helper can provide guidance to us 24/7, right in our heart, right in our ear, right in our minds. And he can be with you, he can be with me, he can be with all of us in different locations all the time. And that way, we can all be being guided by God simultaneously. Now, I've got to tell you, some people, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, some people just go bonkers. I don't know if that's a good word to describe here, but I'm telling you, they just go crazy trying to seek and hear the Helper's voice. They pray about what socks to wear. They pray what meal to cook. They pray whether they should eat or not after they cook the meal. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray about everything, because certainly we should be prayerful about everything. But I am going to say that you don't need to wait for an answer on whether to wear your white socks or your black socks. Just wear the socks that match your pants. It's just that easy. You already have that knowledge. It's already been given to you. We are not his robots created by him. You know, people say, sometimes you'll hear them say, "Oh, my computer just does things." Like I tell you, your computer could have a virus and do things. But most of the time, the problem with your computer is right here. And right here. Because they do what we tell them to do, but we are not Jesus Christ's computer. We are people created in his image who can think, breathe, act, and live for him of our own volition. And so we struggle to get it right, and so we need a helper to get it right. Jesus gives us everything, but what do we do with everything? We don't know. So the Helper helps us. Verse 8 says, "And when he comes," that's the Helper, "when the Helper comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Okay, last week, when we looked at John 15, and we looked at 18 through the end of the chapter, and that was a look at how the world hates Christ, and consequently, the world has a bad relationship with his followers as well. Now, after reading that, we could get the idea that Christ does not care for the world. But of course, that just is not the case. John 3:16, probably the most quoted verse in the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son." So, and we know that his Son was crucified. That's a pretty big gift, the gift of life. And so, we understand that Jesus loves the world. In John 16, the chapter 16, it cements the idea because Jesus is sending the Helper to convict the world and to turn them around to God's way of thinking and living. Now, we must also keep in mind that the Helper is not just coming for the unbelievers to the world. He's also coming for the believers. Jesus explains what the Helper will be doing for the believers. Okay. Now hold on. I feel like I missed something. I know I did. Let me go back to slide number 5. Are you still there? Yeah, you're still there. Okay. When he comes, look at verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning 3 things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. How is he going to convict them of sin? Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and they will see, and you will see me no longer. And 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So he's come. The Helper is coming to convict the world. So that's his job. But he doesn't come just to convict the world. He also has a job with believers. That's the next section. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. But you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. Okay? Do you get that? When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of truth is the same as the Helper. The Spirit of truth and the Helper are the same as the Holy Spirit. They're all one person. Okay? So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. You want to know what's to come? What the future holds? You don't have to call 1-900-FIND-A-PSYCHIC. If you want to know what the future holds, you can just stop and listen for the Spirit of truth. Because he's telling you all the time. The message is there. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. We already talked about that. That everything belongs to him. And he's declaring it to us. Everything. So, when you go to QFC and you walk in there, you own the place. Just walk through there like you're the boss. You go to Adlock Building Supply, just go in there like you own the place. Because it all belongs to you. Every bit of it. Be that brave engineer that's got a hold of the throttle of your own life. And face it and go through it. Take charge. Don't wait to react to what the world is, the cards the world is dealing you. You tell the world the cards you want and you play those. You say, well, what if you get some kind of sickness? What do you do then? What do you do then? You play with the cards you want. You say, but I'm sick. I don't have any strength. You play with the attitude of victory. You pray with the attitude of strength and purpose. You can be fixed on what you believe. And you can be confident in what you believe because you know what is to come. It is a fact that we will all be judged. It's a fact we all have been judged. And it is a fact that we have not only been judged, and it is a fact that we also will die. But if you are a believer in Jesus, it's also a fact that you will not stay dead. So, whatever is happening now is not a big deal compared to what's going to happen. Focus your eyes on what's out there and what's going to happen. Because when your eyes are there, they're not stuck here. Here, this is where the prince of the world works, the ruler of the world works. He's going to rip your body to shreds. He's going to be telling you you're useless, you don't belong to Jesus. Yeah, that preacher says you got everything, but you got nothing. That's all going to be playing there, but that's all coming from the ruler of the world. The ruler of eternal life is telling you that it all belongs to you. Who are you going to listen to?
Amen.
It's just that simple. It's that cut and dry. Are you brave enough to see what's coming, or are you just stuck where you are? Let's see. So go to slide number 7. From this passage, we learn that when the Helper comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide the believer to the truth, and he will declare to the believer the things that are to come, and he will take what is Jesus's and declare it to us all as well. Now, so the Helper, or the Spirit of truth, has a distinct mission for the believer and a distinct mission for the non-believer. The non-believer, he will convict, and the believer, he will guide. You guys see that in the passage, right? That he's going to convict the world, and he is going to guide the believer. So let me ask you, because I know most of you are believers, let me ask you a tough question. Does the Helper, does the Holy Spirit ever convict you? If your answer is yes, may I suggest that you stop behaving in a worldly manner? Because that's not what we're called to do. The Helper convicts the worldly people, but he guides the righteous people. So if you are feeling conviction in your life, stop doing whatever it is you're doing and start doing what you're supposed to do. You remember when you received Jesus Christ and you said, "Lord, I give you my life." And if you're still feeling conviction, you didn't give him your life. You said the words, but now you just live on just like you were living. So are you in the family or out of the family? Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So if you're being led, you're going to be being guided. I fear that too many people accept Jesus as Savior. It makes those noises when the battery's going down. I fear that too many people accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and they believe that they can live worldly, and then they wonder why God doesn't seem real to them. Why don't they see God working in their lives? Well, the reason is because Jesus sent us the Helper to guide us. He didn't send us the drag us kicking and screaming her. He sent us the Helper. He didn't send someone that's going to drag us through our problems or carry us over them. He sent us someone who is going to walk with us through the midst of this world. The Helper is the guide for the believer. A guide needs the cooperation of the follower. That's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to follow the guide. I was going to have congregation participation here, but I'm running out of time. I was going to ask you, what are 5 things that the Helper guides us to? But let me just skip that and cut right to the passage. It's because Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tell us exactly what the Spirit is going to lead us to. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There you go. That's what the Spirit guides us to and with and by. So, let me ask you, does the helper, or the Spirit truth, does the helper ever convict a person who is after God's heart to be loving? Now don't answer. Because the answer is no. Because a person that's after God's heart will already be loving. Because they are following God. They will need to be guided by the Spirit of truth or the helper to be loving without being enabling. They will need guidance to be loving without lusting. They will need guidance to be loving without having faulty expectations. So we will need guidance. But we're not going to need to be convicted to love somebody. If we're following God and we make a mistake, it's going to be because we love Him too much. We're in the wrong way. You're still paying the bills for your 40-year-old kid. It's time to bring some changes to your life. And I don't mean that about anybody here, but I just use that as an example. We don't want to be enabling people. We want to see people grow up and grow strong. They only get to be strong by developing a big callus on the forehead from falling and callus on their hands from standing up again. You can't pick them up every time they fall. God bless. Everybody has to learn to fall and get back up. Now, to me, the nuts and bolts of this passage rest in whether we as individuals need to be convicted or whether we need to be guided. So that is the question for us. Do we need convicted because we sin? Or do we need to be guided because we need help living righteously? Now, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, when? Now, you may not be able to recall the date, but you should be able to recall a day, a time, a place, a situation when you bowed your head and asked God to forgive you of your sins. There should be a day and time, a place that's stuck in your memory when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. And you understood that He had been crucified in your place so that you could have life. And you should have also prayed for guidance from the Holy Spirit that day. And then you should have been living brand new from that moment on. That's why we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day when you move from needing conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to the day when you needed guidance to just live life right. It's supposed to be a turning point. Our lives in America, for the most part, are so easy. We kind of never get in that spot where we really knuckle down and in pain. We really don't turn our lives over as a whole people. I know some of you have, but it needs to be a day. And if through the years that day has become kind of faded, I really want to challenge you to go back to that attitude and live the way that you're supposed to live. Let me give you an illustration and we'll close. A few years ago, somebody told me that there was faster to get to Lake Leland by taking Center Road and going to 104 towards Squim, and then to pick up Highway 101, then the way that I've been going, which was to drive all the way down Center Road to Quilson, and then take 101 to Lake Leland. So, one day, with our boat in tow, Colleen and I headed down Center Road. We turned right onto 104, and Then when we got down to the exchange, where Highway 104 hits 101, if you can picture that in your mind, what that's like there, we follow the signs as best we could, and then, you know, we're carrying on. We're almost to the lake, and we're driving away along. Pretty soon, it's like I'm starting to think, isn't that the gravel pit that's on 104, the power line over here? What am I doing? And so what I've done is I've doubled back on 104. You guys know the intersection I'm talking about? Okay, it's easy to do there. Now, we were talking, we were driving, we just weren't paying attention. We, you know, it's going to Lake Leland for pity's sake. It's not like we were in New York City. But when I passed those power lines, I began to question what was going on. A few more miles, I saw the exit for Center Road, and that confirmed what I had done. Now, let me tell you something. At that point, the last thing I needed was the voice convicting me that I had done wrong. I knew I had made a mistake. I knew I'd gone the wrong way. I didn't know exactly how I got turned around, but I knew that somehow I went down there, and instead of 101, I just got right back on 104 and came back. The last thing I needed was anybody saying, well, you're an idiot. Because I knew I was an idiot. And the very, very last thing I needed was God telling me, you're an idiot. Because obviously I can't even drive in my own neighborhood. But you see, what I did need was a little more guidance. I didn't need to understand that the road that you need to turn on seems to be the one that's the wrong road. And don't turn on the right road because it goes the wrong place. You need to turn on the wrong road so you can get where you're going. So, I mean, that's just the way it seemed. And once you have some help, once you have some guidance, once you have the direction, let me tell you, every time I go into that intersection, I still pray, Lord, let me turn on 101. And I've almost missed it before. Or again, I should say. That's a picture of how life is following the Spirit of God. We listen to that Spirit of truth. We ask Him for guidance as we go, so that when we get in predicaments in our lives, we already have engaged Him in a dialogue. We're familiar with His voice. We know what He says. We know how we respond. And we know what's going on. But I'll give you one more illustration that's going to take me just a little over time. Do you guys ever use your telephone or GPS to find your way? And it has a little voice that comes on. Turn right in 1/4 mile. Right? Turn right in 100 feet. And if you do the wrong thing, then it recalibrates and takes you another direction. Colleen the other day said she was going to a certain street here in Port Havelock. And she told me the street that it was off of. And I said, where's that? And she told me. And I thought for a minute, I thought, wait a minute, I know that street. That's not how you get there. So I go on the map. And see, she followed the little voice the way that they... And they took her down. They were going to take her down this back road, this back way. Because it was the shortest way, if you want to drive 10 miles an hour. Or you could just go down the highway and be there in 5 minutes. We need to understand that voice and how it works. It's just like the GPS of life. You need to understand how it works. You need to listen to it. You need to know when the ruler of the world is telling you some fairy tale that you'll go the wrong way. When you're feeling conviction, repent. When you're feeling guidance, obey. Listen. Follow. For some reason, I'll give you this last verse. It's Micah 6:8. For he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. You want a recipe for an ear that can hear? There you go. Do what's just. Love kindness and walk humbly with God, and you will hear his voice when he speaks. It's that simple. Starts when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus Christ, if you're thinking, well, I did just kind of start to believe, Pastor, I didn't have a moment. You know what? You need a moment. You need time. You see, coming to Jesus Christ is not an intellectual awakening. It is a spiritual rebirth. A baby in the womb can talk all day long about what it's like on the outside. But until that baby comes out, it ain't got a clue. If you're still in the womb and you have studied all the books and you've been to church, but yet you've never received Jesus Christ, you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to have that moment, that time, that place. You say, well, it's too embarrassing. Well, I got to tell you, it's not near as embarrassing as being the God of this universe and coming down to be born into it, to be placed into the womb of nearly a child who's engaged. She's not even married, and suddenly she's pregnant. And then she's got to explain to her husband that, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit did this. And yet somehow he believed. And those two people had a hand in changing the world because they had a hand in bringing Jesus in their life. And the whole world unfolded before them and consequently before us. So we say today that this world is not our home. Our home is to come. Because we have found victory over this life. We are ready for the next. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you, Father, for caring about us and for loving us. We want to thank you for our Lord Jesus. We want to thank you for that Holy Spirit that abides in the heart of every believer. We want to thank you, Lord, for the help that speaks to the heart of every non-believer. Because, Lord, if it were not for that, we would never be able to hear. Father, I just pray that you would come to life in Jesus' name. In every single one of us. And in his name we pray. Amen. Worship team, please share the cloudy days around here. But it doesn't have to be cloudy in our hearts, does it? Here the sun can shine. Father, I ask your blessings in this congregation, that they, Lord, would look to the Son of God, your Son, for their light and their way. For it is there, Lord, that we will find our path illuminated and our future certain. Help us all follow your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.